Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
In 1886, after the state of Georgia passed prohibition laws, a young man by the name of John Pemberton came up with an invention with carbonated non-alcoholic beverage that he thought would appeal to people in his age and during that time, instead of alcohol that had now had prohibition laws against it. It was marketed as soft drink as opposed to hard liquor. In that, it was a mixture that contained cocoa beans and cola beans that inspired the name Coca-Cola. He first began to sell it through pharmacies in his hometown in Atlanta, Georgia. But John Pemberton had greater visions. He had a desire and a dream that at the close of 100 years, every person upon the planet would have tasted Coca-Cola. Friends, he's not been able to reach that goal, but at the same time, I would say that he was pretty successful. In that, this morning, let me ask, how many in here have ever tasted Coca-Cola? Or at least heard of it? Okay, we're well above average. 51% of all people living in the world have actually tasted Coca-Cola. 72% say that they have at least seen a bottle or can of Coca-Cola, and 97% that have not seen or tasted it, at least they have heard about Coca-Cola. On the other hand, only 73% of the world today has heard about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I will guarantee you that the numbers are far lower who have actually been able to taste the goodness and the salvation that our Lord and Savior offers through the shedding of His blood, conjoined with our obedience, or with our obedience to His will. I wonder how different things would be if Christians were as passionate about sharing Christ with the world as John Pemberton was about sharing his invention of Coca-Cola to the people of his age. I wonder how successful we would be in the church today if we were as concerned and as passionate about putting Bibles and the gospel message into the hands of people today as he was about putting a bottle of soda into the hands of the people of his age. Why do we not share the gospel of Christ? Probably it is based out of fear. Some do not share because they fear that they do not know enough. They fear that people will ask them questions that they will not be able to answer. They fear that it might lead to confrontation. They fear that it will jeopardize an otherwise good relationship and friendship. And friends, as I stand before you this morning, I ask you, shouldn't we fear, though, greater? Is that these souls who are our friends and our families will someday stand before our God in their lost state to be separated from our God throughout all eternity. This morning, as I stand before you to present a lesson from God's Word, as we worship our God in spirit and in truth, I ask you, as we will also conclude, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? You see, God wants each and every one of us to be seed sowers. He wants every single Christian to be involved in sowing the seed of the kingdom. And the Lord actually spoke of this in the book of Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through verse 15. And as we think with regard to our responsibility, what God expects us to be involved in the realm of personal evangelism, this morning I want us to identify what the seed is. And then I want us to talk about the types of soil or the hearts that we will come in contact with as we are working in sowing the seed into the lost and dying world. But then also, I want us to identify those of us who are responsible for sowing the seed of the kingdom unto the lost world. To begin with, let's talk about the seed. The Bible makes it very clear that the seed under consideration here is the divinely communicated message. It is the Word of God. It is the Bible. The Bible teaches us this fact, in fact, as we look with regard to the Scripture, is that His Word has always been made available unto humanity. God spoke in the days of old, and His Word served as a light unto the people of that day, and He communicated His will through the prophets. But in the last day, in the onset of the Christian dispensation of time, He spoke unto mankind through Jesus Christ, His Lord. But also, friends, the Bible identifies to us is that God has now given us not only Jesus to present His message, but He's given us His inspired Word through what we have compiled before us is the Bible. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped into every good work. God wants us to understand that the seed that we are responsible for sowing is indeed the Word of God. And it is the will of God, what God wills for mankind to do in life. And as we are sowing the seed, God wants us to understand the effectiveness and what it is that the seed is able to accomplish. You see, by our preaching and teaching the Word of God, as we are sowing the seed of the kingdom into the world, it is able to cut the heart of people by convicting them of sin. You see, we live in a world today where that sin is commonplace. We live in a world today where that people think that they can live however they want to live. And yet at the same time, you and I, having studied the Bible, and those who seek to live according to the standards of the Bible, we know that indeed it's not up to us to determine our path, that we make mistakes, and as we make mistakes, as is defined in Scriptures, that they constitute sin in the sight of God. And I remember whenever that message was first taught to me, whenever I began to internalize what it is that the Scripture teaches, is that I was cut to the heart and came to realize I was convicted of the fact that my sin, my transgressions of God's law, had actually separated me from Him. And friends, we read of instances such as this in the Scripture, do we not? Remember the day of Pentecost, whenever Peter and the other apostles had proclaimed Christ unto the lost souls before them that day? In verse 37 of Acts chapter 2 says they became cut to the heart. They were pricked in the heart. How were they pricked in the heart? What is it that cut their heart? It was a proclamation of God's truth by Peter and the others sowing the seed of the kingdom before the people of that very day. But friends, also, God's Word is able to call souls unto salvation. God does not work in any mystical or miraculous way today. He works and calls people through the preaching and teaching of His Word. And as seed throwers, as those who are responsible for sowing the seed of the kingdom unto the world, you and I are to do our part in helping to call people unto salvation by preaching and teaching God's will before them. And friends, as we think with regard to this, the Bible, the seed of God, is capable of cleansing the soul of mankind and fitting them for service in the kingdom themselves. Man is lost because of sin. But whenever people embrace what God teaches and they submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, certainly God forgives them. And as they are continually learning, as we continue to teach them, and as they continue to study on their own accord even, hence they are cleansed and set in order for proper service in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But friends, also, the Bible identifies to us as that the seed, the Word of God, is able to convert souls unto salvation. It's able to take someone who lived their life for the world, who lived their life totally alienated from God, and who were living constantly in sin. It's able to convert, to change them to where now sin is not, their life is not characterized by sin. to where now that they're no longer thinking like the people of the world think, but rather they're able to think like you and I ought to be thinking as Christians. And that is constantly to be thinking about God and about serving God and about living with God someday. The Bible, God's Word, is a seed. And you and I have a huge responsibility that God lays before us to be seed sowers in the lost and dying world. What types of soil will we come in contact with? The hearts that we have identified for us. There are four types of hearts that we encounter as we go about in this world. And friends, you and I certainly know that we're looking for the good and honest heart. You and I are looking for individuals who want to know what God's will is and who are not satisfied with living in the world because they want to be able to live eternally in heaven with God someday. But yet at the same time, God says that a lot of the time, in fact, I believe from what we find here in this parable and even beyond, is that a majority of the time, in fact, if you take this parable, only 25% of the time, we're going to find that good and honest hearts. And we're going to find those who, whenever they obey the Lord, is that they get it and they stick only about 25% of the time. The seed which falls amongst the wayside is first identified in the context of our Scripture. And not only does God give the parable in regard to the fact that where seed is going, He's identifying that as the seed is being sown, it's being sown everywhere. And it's falling in different directions. And as it falls by the wayside, God not only shows that it fell amongst the wayside people, but He also identifies that it was devoured. It didn't last long. Why so? Because whenever they heard it, the devil comes along and he takes the word out of their heart. We're doing all that we possibly can as Christians to sow not only the kingdom, but to make sure that it's sown into the heart of these people. But also God shows us that Satan knows what we're doing. He's very much aware of those who are His servants and what we're doing to bring them out of sin and to lead them unto salvation. And whenever the seed is sown and it falls amongst those who are on the wayside, is that Satan is working diligently to take it from their heart so that it will not produce within the heart to make these people a servant, a faithful servant of the Lord. In the context of the parable also, Jesus deals with the seed that falls upon the rock or upon the stone. And as a result of that, Jesus says, not only do we know is that some of the seed fell there, but then it also began to come up. And friends, you and I deal with people in our own community such as this, is that as we are teaching souls, is that it falls amongst those individuals who fit this category of the rock, meaning that it begins to come up. It certainly begins to grow. It sprouts up, but at the same time, there's not enough soil there. The stone is still there beneath the surface of the soil to where that is not able to take root. And whenever the sun, the heat of the day comes up, the Scripture says that it withers away. Jesus identifies it in this way by saying, but the ones on the rock are those that when they hear, receive the word with joy. They're excited about what it is that they've heard, about what it is that they have become a part of. He says they've received the word with joy. And yet at the same time, these have no root to the point to where who believe for a while and in times of temptation, they fall away. You see, God wants us to be rooted and grounded in the truth. And even though they've had a taste of the Word, even though they believed enough to where they put Christ on in baptism, these souls, because they are identified as the rocky soil, they're not able. Time maybe is a factor. Commitment certainly would be a factor. They never grew to the point to where they were rooted and grounded in the truth. And brethren, let me say, shame on them if they're not as sold on the Lord as what they ought to be to study things through and to grow to that point. But brethren, also shame on us if we think that we can baptize people and that they're going to be able to live faithful from that point forward without us ever coming in and trying to encourage them and to teach them further God's will. You know, Jesus was not done as He was speaking with regard to the parable. He also identified the seed as it falls in the thorns. And I remember growing up, is that going out and playing in the woods, you could get caught up in the thorns before you knew what was going on. And from time to time, Bobby and I and others go out and we ride with Mason up in Rocky River, and sometimes we ride on paths that are clear, that are wide open, that Bobby and Mason have taken time to cut out. And then there's other times that we'll journey off, and before we know it, we're in the thorns. Well, we're coming by, and those briars are grabbing to us, and they cut us, and they hold on. And as I was thinking about the seed being sown amongst the thorns, this illustration came to my mind, is that you're there amongst it before you know what happens, and you're ripped to shreds. And friends, that's exactly what the Lord identifies, is that the seed that falls amongst the thorns, before they know what's got them, they're choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. You see, Satan's working diligently, is he not, to ruin our efforts? He wants us to be discouraged and to say, wow, so far there's no success in personal evangelism. But you know, the Lord identifies what it is that we're looking for as we're going about personally, individually, as well as collectively, as a congregation. He concludes this in saying, in regard to the soil, is that the seed that falls on good soil, it abounds. It will produce fruit. It will be productive. Not only to change the state of that soul, but also to change the mind of that soul, to convert that individual to where that they are themselves faithful to the Lord, to convert that individual to where they also will be so grateful, much appreciative of what it is that they receive, isn't that now they also are engaged in personal evangelism. They cannot wait. They are on fire to share the good news, the salvation of which they are indeed a part of. We talked about the seed. We know that that's the Word of God. We've identified the types of soil that God says that we will encounter as we go out in the world. And now let's examine the sower. In this context, but also in a greater way, in the broader context of the New Testament Scripture, New Testament saints, Christians are identified as these sowers. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Corinth, identifies in regard to God's message is that it is a treasure. It is the greatest treasure upon the face of this earth. And friends, there are people out here with sincere hearts who are treasure seekers. And what I mean by that is that they're looking for the treasure of God's message. They're looking earnestly for God's saving plan of redemption. And you and I need to realize that the Word of God is that treasure that needs to be presented before them to give them an opportunity to grasp it, to obey it, and to live thereby. And note what he says, this treasure we have in earthen vessels. You know what a vessel is, don't you? It's that which is used to transport things from one point to another. God says that we are the vessel who's responsible for the treasure, that treasure that He has. And therefore, not only are we to consume it ourselves and to live by and to be grateful for this treasure, But he also says we are transporters of this treasure to others. And in this, God wants us to understand is that we are personally responsible as Christians. He commands us to go out. Note what the context of what Jesus identifies in this parable. He says that those who go out, whenever they go out and they sow the seed, it's more than just attending on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesdays. Don't get me wrong. Being here is important. And in fact, if you are not here all the time, I want to encourage you time and time again to grow in your faith and in your love for the Lord to where you are here all of the time. You're that committed to God. But there's more to it than just showing up. As we go out, we go out into the lost and dying world. We go out not only to live for God, but a part of living for God personally is also to be engaged in personal works, in personal evangelism, in telling people about God's plan to save and to forgive, sharing with people about God's hope of being able to not only serve Him here, but the hope that He has for Christians to be able to live with Him in heaven someday. You see, every Christian is commanded to go out. That's not only a part of this parable, but friends, that's a part of the Great Commission. Go therefore, who? Every single one of us. Go therefore, and I found it interesting that as I was reading from the context of this parable, He says that we are to go out with a seed. And what is it that Jesus identifies in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 19? Verse 19, go. And if you go to the original language, it means go out or as you are going out each and every day. You see these parables actually parallel with one another. Go out and as you're going out every single day, don't forget about your salvation. Don't forget about the souls that are lost and also need God's salvation. You see, sowers are called to know as well as to live by God's Word. And if we're going to share God's message with people, Brother Charlie said that he was reading something, I don't know if it was today or this past week, but he said that they said that in order for you to become evangelistic, is that you must also know the Word yourself and you must live by it. And in order for us to be effective in reaching the lost, we need to make sure that we know His will, but then that we live by it. But a part of living by it, friends, is making sure that we're taking it unto every soul that has an ear to hear. You see, God expects His seed to be sown everywhere. And sometimes we might be guilty as what we find in the world. You know, the world is very much a respecter of people, of different types of persons. And in that, they will say, well, this person deserves a promotion, or that person deserves this or that. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can be like that in the church. We can say, well, you know, I'll go over here in this neighborhood, or I'll go over in that neighborhood, or I'll talk to that person, but I'm not going to go talk to that one because I just don't like the way that they look, or they dress, or something else about them. And friends, this parable, in the immediate context and in a broader context of Scripture then, God teaches us is that we need to sow the seed everywhere and let it fall where it falls. Why? Because God wants every soul to be saved. And it's not up to us to try and to determine, well, you know, that's the wayside over there. We may be passing up a perfectly good opportunity. He doesn't need us to come out and to say, you know, that's the rocky ground over there. We're not to be judgmental in regard to where we're going to sow, but rather to sow and to let it fall where it may. And God knows those souls that are serious about seeking Him and serving Him in life. You say, Kevin, why so much on personal evangelism? Friends, God wants His church to grow, first and foremost. And the way in which God has developed for His church to grow is for the seed of the kingdom to be spread. And the way in which God wants the seed of the kingdom to be spread is because it comes through those who are members of the kingdom. It comes from the citizens within the kingdom of God. It comes from New Testament Christians. Every member must be involved in personal evangelism. You say, Kevin, oh, okay, but what's that all about? Friends, someday we will stand before God in judgment. Every one of us will face God in judgment to give an account of our life. And oftentimes we point out, and this is true, we point out and say, if we're not living right, if you're going out and talking like the world talks, engaging in vulgar speech, engaging in cursing and things of that nature, living like the world lives, and ungodliness, there's a day of reckoning coming. We preach those things, and rightfully so. That is a part of what's under consideration there. But note what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. To judge our deeds. Evangelism is a deed that God expects us to do. And evangelism is sadly one of the most unpracticed deeds in the church today. So today I ask, brethren, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? If not, why not? If not, please, please get involved in the works of the church here at East End in helping to sow the seed of God's kingdom unto the world. But then also, we ask this morning, do you need God's forgiveness today? If you're not a Christian, the answer to that is yes, you do need God's forgiveness today. And we want to stress, not only do you need God's forgiveness, friend, you need God's forgiveness today. You may say, Kevin, why today? Why can't I put it off until tomorrow? Friends, you put it off until this very moment. And you weren't guaranteed today. And you're not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. In fact, James teaches us in regard to the brevity of life in James chapter 4 and verse 14 in saying, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You see, God says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Why? Because tomorrow may be too late. So today, if you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want to invite you with His call.